I'm a little worried about the mad cow disease. I am. It's scary. I'm scared.
And I hope that all of you realize that right now, mad cow disease has not gone away. We have over 5 million people in North America today being diagnosed as having Alzheimer's. When they actually did a study at Pittsburgh Veterans Hospital, they found that 5.5% of the people that died that had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's really had CJD, the human form of mad cow disease. They did another study like that at Yale University, and they found that 13% were misdiagnosed. That means that we have right now in North America about 500,000 people a year that are dying from the human form of mad cow disease, and our governments are saying we should have less than 350.
Apocalyptic talk about a new mad cow plague appears to be dying down. Even Howard Lyman, the original mad cowboy, has shifted recent speeches towards a general condemnation of the meat industry and a fervid call for animal-free diets. Stunned by international bans on American beef, the former cattle lobbyists appointed to the U.S. Department of Agriculture have announced some new rules to protect the public. The government, stuffed with Western Republicans, continues to claim that not a single citizen has died from mad cow disease. Well, until a girl from Florida did, but they blame that on the British. Unlike AIDS, mad cow disease has not turned into the plague predicted in a series of fearsome books published shortly after 20 young people died, horribly, from BSE in Britain. As the second and third confirmed mad cow cases were found in the American South in the spring of this year, 2006, we have to ask, is mad cow disease over? Or did it disappear under a blanket of denial and public relations bravado? As a disease that takes 10 to 30 years to reveal itself, is mad cow lurking? This is Alex Smith from Radio EcoShock. There are many reasons to suspect we are being lulled by our ignorance about this new form of disease. Only in the last decade did humans discover a new cause of brain rot. It's not a virus or a bacteria. Although it arises from living things, it is not alive. It is a microscopic form of protein called a prion. We all have protein in our bodies. Both animals and plants make protein, but North Americans get most of their protein from meat. The combination of basic chemicals in a protein has inlaid instructions about its designated shape, the way it folds. A prion is a protein that folds differently. When enough misfolded prions accumulate into clumps in the brain, we think they stimulate the formation of plaque and the development of holes in the brain. This is why BSE is called spongiform, meaning sponge-like. Prions can't be killed, because they're not alive. They multiply almost like crystals, which form around a seed crystal. Prions are immune to cooking heat, chlorine, solvents, and any other methods we normally associate with sanitary protection of food. Diseased prions can live in soil or frozen animal tissue indefinitely. You would have to burn meat to a black crisp before prions would be damaged. California biochemist Stanley Prusiner won a Nobel Prize for his prion theory, and Prusiner was among the loudest critics of government inaction to protect meat consumers. He's one of many scientists who think we have underestimated the risk of a new plague. The prion story is like an iceberg, and the mad cow disease is just the visible tip. It turns out there are a whole range of prion diseases that affect lots of different animals. Chronic wasting disease in deer and elk, you may have heard of that, is called by prions. Mink, tiger, sheep, pigs, and mice sicken and die from prion-caused illness. Chronic wasting disease, or CWD, is a major killer of deer and elk in the United States and slightly in Canada. And it's a big risk to hunters and their families who eat infected venison. And it's a further source of prion-infected feed to farm animals. It's still legal to take obviously diseased deer or elk and grind them up into feed for pigs and chickens. Science has yet to investigate whether pigs or chickens can get sick themselves from eating diseased deer. But a 2001 study by Dr. Richard Race, a senior investigator with the National Institute of Health, suggests that resistant farm animals could still pass on prion diseases to humans when eaten. He calls them the silent carriers. We're still in the early stages of understanding chronic wasting disease, but it appears that CWD can be passed to humans as readily as mad cow disease. Still more worrying, CWD is the only prion disease we know of that can be passed by casual contact, even by saliva. In humans, one of the fastest growing diseases in the West is also prion caused. Alzheimer's, the illness that robs the mind, usually in older people. 4.5 million Americans and almost 500,000 Canadians are incapacitated by this dementia. Health experts are predicting 16 million cases of Alzheimer's in America by 2050. The Canadian government says the number of these prion victims will double in the next 20 years. The U.S. National Institute of Health estimates their healthcare costs about $100 billion a year. The damage and tragedy by families is much greater. You have to live it to know how that hurts. Alzheimer's is a new plague, then. And until the last decade, we didn't even know what caused it. We still don't know why new cases are rising exponentially. A controversial book, co-written by Dr. Murray Waldman, a coroner and researcher at the University of Toronto, wonders whether Alzheimer's is actually a new disease caused by prions from factory meat production. The book is called Dying for a Hamburger: How Modern Meatpacking Led to an Epidemic of Alzheimer's Disease. Waldman says previous literature does not assume that old people will get dementia. Public and published awareness of the disease only arose after the First World War, and the medical definition of senile did not include dementia until 1962. According to Waldman, the number of articles on Alzheimer's diseases in medical journals increased by 5,000 times between 1966 and 2000, compared with 6 times and 4 times for prostate cancer and heart disease. I'm quoting here from a review of that book by Bookslut.com. Quote, "There is a fact that Alzheimer's emerged in the wake of the industrialized farming and meatpackaging production line techniques that allowed the BSE prions to get into the food chain. Where these techniques have been introduced, first in Europe and America, and more recently in the countries of the Pacific Rim, processed meat consumption has soared along with the rates of Alzheimer's. Waldman points out that levels of Alzheimer's in largely vegetarian India are still very low." End quote. The Alzheimer's Society acknowledges similarity with prion diseases, and both involve errant proteins, but they say each disease involves different proteins. The two diseases, mad cow and Alzheimer's, should not be confused, they say. A spokesperson for the Alzheimer's Society, Dr. Suzanne Sorensen, does not agree that their disease rose with the consumption of meat, but it may be a risk factor, like fat is, for heart disease. However, Waldman postulates that Alzheimer's may be an infectious disease from establishing meat production and caused by prions. Others agree, but the medical establishment is very hostile to this theory. It has not been tested scientifically, and we don't really know the whole story on the causes of Alzheimer's. The National Institute of Health finds certain genes and pre-existing medical conditions greatly increase the risk of getting Alzheimer's. Being white also increases the odds. Alzheimer's is the 8th leading cause of death in the United States, with 53,800 fatalities in 2001, according to the Centers for Disease Control. A summary on Wikipedia states that studies of Alzheimer's patients show no link to diet. We're going to fling a few acronyms around here, but it's important you learn a few new words to describe the medical future. When mad cow disease, or BSE, is transferred to humans, our version of it is called CJD. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease was first reported by two German doctors, Creutzfeldt and Jakob, in 1920. Experts tell us CJD develops due to prions in about 1 in a million people. The form of CJD arising from prion-infected meat looks slightly different under a microscope, so it's called new variant CJD, or NVCJD for short. In another book, Brain Trust, The Hidden Connection Between Mad Cow Disease and Misdiagnosed Alzheimer's, by Colm A. Kaler, Ph.D., it doesn't say that Alzheimer's and mad cow have the same identical root cause, but that many people labeled with Alzheimer's are found to have CJD upon autopsy. That's what Howard Lyman was talking about. The disease is hidden by misdiagnosis. In a posting online, Colm Kaler, spelled K-E-L-L-E-H-E-R, writes, So, what is the connection between the human prion disease, CJD, and Alzheimer's disease, or AD? Firstly, the astounding recent increase in AD in the United States has not been sufficiently highlighted by the media. In 1979, only 653 people died of AD, or Alzheimer's. In 2002, that number had increased to 50,000 deaths, a 9,000% increase in deaths for any disease in a mere 25 years should be cause for a national emergency. Instead, old people are now almost expected to die of Alzheimer's disease. This was not the case a few generations ago. AD was a rare disease in the 1960s. AD is quite difficult to diagnose. Mood swings, psychiatric problems, sleep problems, eye problems, memory problems are all loosely associated with dementia. Some of these AD symptoms overlap with CJD symptoms. The main difference is that AD takes much longer to progress to death. CJD is much more rapid. Typically, people die 3 to 18 months after CJD diagnosis. The gold standard for diagnosing CJD is by autopsy and pathology studies of the brain. Two shocking studies, one from Yale University and the second from University of Pittsburgh, really opened my eyes when I first saw them. When researchers studied the brains of dead Alzheimer's disease patients, they found that between 5 to 13% had actually been wrongly diagnosed. These people had really died of CJD. Now, what does this say regarding the supposed rarity of CJD in the USA? We are routinely told that CJD is so rare, only 1 in 1 million people get it. But with 4 to 5 million Alzheimer's disease patients currently putting an enormous strain on the U.S. healthcare system, if even a small percentage of these people actually have CJD, not AD, then CJD is much more common than we have been told. These figures imply thousands of CJD cases in the U.S. that are going undetected because of lack of autopsies. Recent reports indicate that most pathologists do not want to conduct autopsies on CJD patients for fear of contaminating their facilities with the indestructible prions. And to make matters worse, CJD is not even a mandatory reportable disease in about half the states in the USA. That means authorities have no real idea of how many CJD cases actually exist. If we look at the current low level of testing for mad cow disease in the US, and we combine it with the current epidemic of deer elk disease in this country, and with the lack of autopsies to determine how many people in the U.S. are actually dying of CJD, we may be facing a grim reality. That was from Colm Kaler. Michael Greger, MD, is another persistent critic of the government inaction on BSE risks. He's the Mad Cow Coordinator for the Organic Consumers Association at www.organicconsumers.org. In a seminal article published at commondreams.org, Greger writes, quote, "Although only a few hundred cases of sporadic CJD are officially reported in the U.S. annually, hundreds of thousands of Americans die with dementia every year, and thousands of these deaths may actually be from CJD caused by eating infected meat." The online article has footnotes listing these studies. The studies reviewed by the U.S. Public Health Service found that BSE can be transmitted through a blood transfusion. The European Commission concluded, quote, "There is little doubt that humans or animals could be exposed to the BSE agent by consuming blood products. Our whole blood supply could be at risk, as it was in the early days of AIDS." Again, we turn to NPR, this time from a program on March 17, 2006.
Joining me now is Linda Detweiler. She's a former senior staff veterinarian in the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service of the United States Department of Agriculture and is now an adjunct assistant professor at the Virginia Maryland Regional College of Veterinary Medicine.
The reason that would be important is because now there's evidence in the United Kingdom that if a person has the variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and they would donate blood, there have been 3 cases where it appears that the person that has received the blood has actually developed it. So you could potentially contaminate your blood supply with no screening test. And that's really where some very important public health significance could come into play.
In his new book, No More Bull, Howard Lyman warns of a huge loophole in the so-called firewall. Cow blood is collected in great quantities and fed back to calves as a cheap source of protein. But we know BSE can be spread through blood. so a few mad cows could infect herds across the country. Feeding ruminants to ruminants was supposed to be banned, but it's still going on, using cow blood to feed cows. Based on his research of a prion disease in Wisconsin mink that were fed downer cows, University of Wisconsin professor Richard Marsh said mad cow disease was already widely distributed in U.S. cattle. He was harassed and threatened with legal suits from the meat industry. Howard Lyman was sued for 6 years in a cattle-friendly Texas court for telling the public about the risk of mad cow disease on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Here's the story.
I went on the Oprah Show, I stood up, and I told the truth. I told people we were grinding up cows and feeding them back to cows, that we were taking roadkill, deer, elk, possum, raccoons, grinding them up, feeding them back to cows. And then we were taking euthanized pets, dogs and cats, full of chemicals that were used to kill them. City of Los Angeles alone, 200 tons of dogs and cats a month were being ground up and turned into feed for our pets or our food animals. When I went on the Oprah Show, I knew that there were 13 states that had a food disparagement law. That food disparagement law said it's against the law to say something about a perishable commodity that you know not to be true. I didn't say anything on the Oprah Show that I did not believe to be true. I went on the Oprah Show and I told Oprah that we had 100,000 cows a year that were fine at night, dead in the morning. And when I got done talking to her, her eyes were as big as saucers. She turned around and looked at the guy from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and said, "Dr. Weber, are we feeding cows to cows?" I'll never forget what he had to say. He said, there's a limited amount of that going on. Near as I could tell, 95% of the cattle in the U.S. in factory feedlots are eating the remains of other animals, and then, damn it, the next thing out of Oprah's mouth gets us sued. She says, "That stopped me cold. I'll never again eat a burger." They sued me because they wanted every media outlet in North America to know that if you were going to take the issue and talk about what's wrong with our food supply, that they're willing to spend millions of dollars dragging you through court.
Perhaps that's why major media outlets have soft-pedaled government corruption and lack of consumer protection from prion diseases. Cows and beef aren't the only risky meat. We know sheep have the prion disease called scrapie. Now we're finding out that pigs have been dying from a prion disease since the 1970s. Researchers found that people who eat pig brains and another southern delicacy of pig waste called scrapple have a much greater risk of developing CJD. Here's a good source to check out. PRWatch.org has an article titled "Mad Cow USA: Could the Nightmare Happen Here?" Originally written by Sheldon Rampton and John Stauber for the third quarter edition of 1997. This summary has been updated and is still online at www.prwatch.org. Rampton and Stauber write, "A second study, published in 1985, looked for correlations between CJD and consumption of 45 different food items, which range from raw oysters to hot dogs. 9 items showed a statistical correlation, 6 of which came from pigs, roast pork, ham, hot dogs, pork chops, smoked pork, and scrapple." End quote. In a mysterious pork barrel exception, the FDA's rule prohibiting the sale of mammal tissue for feeds doesn't apply to pigs. The agency doesn't list pigs as mammals. So swine protein is still being fed to pigs, a dangerous practice which could rapidly escalate even a small outbreak of prion diseases. Yet another risk comes from new machines designed to strip every last bit of protein from slaughtered cows. They're called Advanced Meat Recovery Machines, or AMRs. As they grind and strip, these machines also grab nerve fiber that could carry disease-causing prions like mad cow. The meat bits go into hot dogs, pizza toppings, and other processed meat products. A study by the Colorado State University, published in 2001, found the dangerous central nervous system tissues, brain, and spinal cord parts in more than 50% of mechanically stripped beef products. When they tested hamburger patties from 7 major fast food chains, they found 6 out of 7 contained nervous system fibers, the very cattle parts capable of passing on mad cow disease to humans. a petition to force slaughterhouses to remove the central nervous system before putting them through mechanical stripping machines was refused by the USDA, even though it was supported by the American Public Health Association, the Consumer Federation of America, the Government Accountability Project, and the National Consumers League. They were no match for their opponents in the cattle and slaughterhouse industry. Cattle aren't allowed to eat food contaminated with spinal cord residues, but kids are. It's even allowed in the federally supported school lunch program. Despite government assurances, North American youth are still at high risk for mad cow disease. There is some recent good news. As reported in the Vancouver Sun, March 6, 2006, a Canadian neuroscientist has developed a blood test to diagnose a wide range of protein-related diseases, including Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's, Alzheimer's, and mad cow. Dr. Neil Cashman says his test finds the clumps of misfolded proteins that underlie all these diseases. A blood test for Alzheimer's is likely 2 years away through a company called Amorphix Life Sciences. It will pick up new variant CJD from infected meat as well. Dr. Cashman recognized an urgent need for the blood test to help prevent humans from getting variant CJD through infected meat or blood transfusions. The test will work in both cattle and humans, so it could lift the veil hiding the real prevalence of mad cow and chronic wasting disease. On their website, the Alzheimer's Society in the UK says,
"There is some evidence that the number of deaths from variant CJD has reached a peak and is now in decline. However, there is currently no firm scientific basis for predicting future numbers of cases of variant CJD, and there could be more than one peak to the epidemic. One problem is that the length of the incubation period for the disease remains uncertain. Prions may exist in the body for many years before symptoms begin."
Others believe the whole mad cow debate is just another media scare, like this caller to an NPR open line program.
But, you know, the response to BSE has been so out of proportion in terms of the loss of our export markets, and it's just been a massive, I think, overreaction. Just for example, as far as I know, the number of people that have died of this variant disease has been in the range of 150 people worldwide. Just in the UK alone, more than 400 farmers committed suicide from having lost their livelihoods.
Wow.
Because of the destruction of herds. I mean, so, you know, it's not that we don't need to deal with the disease. I just think that there's been a tremendous overreaction.
Little perspective, maybe, Robert. Well, thanks for that call.
You decide what to believe. The worst part of this controversy, for me, is that we already have a relatively cheap and easy way to prevent the transmission of prion diseases from animals to humans. All government has to do is to close up the loopholes about feeding infected animals to other animals, including humans, track the history of cows, remove any possibly infected animals from the food chain immediately, and test each cow for BSE. That's already done in Japan. The tests cost a couple of bucks a cow and take 3 hours to get results. It's that easy to catch and remove infected beef from the food chain.
The Agriculture Department has exhumed the body of an Alabama cow that was identified this week as the third U.S. case of mad cow disease. They're also working to trace the herd mates and offspring of that cow. The task is made more difficult by the fact that, unlike Canada, Europe, and Japan, the U.S. still does not have a national tracking system for livestock. And as NPR's Greg Allen reports, ranchers aren't sure they want to help the government keep track of their cattle through a national database.
The debate about tracking cattle so we can trace and remove other infected animals has curious twists in the United States climate. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association complains about the cost of implanting the RFID chips into the cow's ear and the bookkeeping involved for slaughterhouses. Other right-wing-leaning and libertarian Americans, including talk show host Alec Jones, fears tracking cattle is just the first step towards implanting chips in humans in a giant government or corporate database. We can follow us all. Some ranchers don't want the data used by environmentalists either.
The big thing I think that most cattlemen fear is the fact that information they gather will be used against us in some way, and also that the cost of running this system would be passed on down to us, which personally I don't feel we can bear a whole lot more cost.
The cost is a dollar or two per animal for radio transmitter ear tags, thousands of dollars more for feedlots and meat packers who would need new equipment to track and maintain records of the animals they receive. Ronald Bybee says ranchers also worry about just who else would have access to a national database.
We think, for instance, that the meat packers could use this by knowing how many cattle was actually in the system at any given time. That's one thing. Another way it could be used against us would be by the environmental people.
But the real reason for resistance to tracking may be more sinister. The industry doesn't want more cases of mad cow found. That would be bad for business, although it's hard to see how the recent $6 billion loss of foreign markets due to American mad cow cases can be good for business. Despite finding two more mad cows this spring, the National Cattlemen's Association website says simply, because of the progressive steps taken by the U.S. government over the past 15 years, all U.S. beef is safe from BSE. And that's that.
A Kansas meatpacking company is suing the Agriculture Department for denying it permission to test its cattle for mad cow disease. The company, Creekstone Farms, wants to test all of the cattle it slaughters for mad cow disease with the aim of reopening the lucrative Japanese market. From Kansas City, NPR's Greg Allen reports.
Despite that, for more than 2 years, Creekstone Farms has petitioned USDA to allow it to test its cattle, and the agency, backed by meatpackers and the largest ranchers group, has refused. Today, Creekstone finally went to court, asking a federal judge to order the agency to allow it to begin testing. Creekstone CEO John Stewart says after 27 months of negotiations between USDA and the Japanese government, he and many others in the industry have run out of patience.
That's right. Using an obscure 1913 law, the American government forbids ranchers from testing for this vicious disease. It all looks like the spooked herd just doesn't want to know the real picture. Canadian meat is still suspected by international buyers. After testing only 110,000 cattle since 2004, out of the millions produced, six cases of BSE were found, and three infected cows were born after the 1997 implementation of the feed ban, meaning the Canadian prevention system hasn't worked. Canada just decided to wait until the U.S. acted to ban the loophole aspects of risky feed, and the U.S. is also in no rush to act. Both are gambling with the future of the industry and the whole health of the population. In the end, millions of North Americans could die horribly because of this laxity. The headline, "Wait for the U.S. ban on risky feed, beef industry tells Ottawa," is found in the Vancouver Sun, June 8, 2006, on page A3. It's by Margaret Monroe, and she writes, "The federal government is being pressured to wait for American action before banning the use of cattle brains, corpses, and other high-risk material in animal feed, pet food, and fertilizer to prevent the spread of mad cow disease." The Canadian Food Inspection Agency announced in 2004 it would follow Europe's lead and ban use of specified risk material, or SRM, in animal feed and fertilizer. SRM includes condemned cattle and dead stock, as well as the brains, spinal cords, tonsils, eyeballs, and bits of small intestine from cattle that can harbor high concentrations of prions, the infectious agents that cause bovine spongiform encephalopathy, known as mad cow disease, end quote. The Canadian government has developed a plan to collect and handle these risky cow parts, but has not enacted the legislation to end the use of it. They pass laws that sound good, but then don't enforce them, don't even act on them. The public thinks it is protected, but nothing has been done on the ground. A chorus of scientists in Canada and the United States have called on the Canadian government to act on its own laws. The United States normally imports over 1 million head of cattle and billions of pounds of beef from Canada every year. There is so much cross-border traffic of animals and meat that we need to talk about a single meat-producing system in North America rather than thinking about it in national terms. The 1997 Canadian ban on feeding cattle remains for cattle and other ruminants like sheep, and it was enforced, but cattle remains, including the most dangerous parts, are still fed to chickens, hogs, and your family pet. There is mounting evidence that cross-species contamination of BSE prions is occurring.
NPR's Joanne Silberner reports.
There's already been a case of the human form of mad cow disease in the U.S.
In April 2002, a 22-year-old Florida girl grew irritable and increasingly demented, beginning the rapid downhill path that has left her unable to even feed herself. But since she had lived in Britain the first 12 years of her life, doctors presume she got it there.
The solution is obvious, but North Americans have a bad track record of preventing the obvious. They choose certain economic interests, the ones who contribute to politicians and parties, over the broad protection of the people, and then they govern by press releases. And the wolf is in the cattle barn. Former USDA Secretary Ann Veneman appointed Dale Moore, ex-chief lobbyist for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, as her chief of staff. Her spokeswoman was Allison Harrison, the former director of public relations for the Cattlemen's Association.
Caroline Smith DeWall is food safety director at the Center for Science in the Public Interest. She points to something else that Secretary Veneman didn't even propose: government-enforced recalls of contaminated food. In 2002, the industry fought successfully to keep that out of the post-9/11 bioterrorism law as well.
The cattle industry ran the public agency responsible for overseeing public health issues in the cattle industry. There is no independent agency to protect us. This is John Stauber, co-author of the 1997 book Mad Cow USA, Could the Nightmare Happen Here?, from an interview in the excellent radio program called Between the Lines in 2004.
But I think what is most disturbing, most outrageous, is that despite the emergence of mad cow disease here in America, the federal government, rather than doing the correct thing, learning from Britain's mistakes, implementing a total ban on this feeding practice, testing millions of animals, the federal government is trying to manage this with public relations, telling us, oh, it's no big deal, we have a firewall feed ban in place, let's blame Canada, this cow really came from Canada. What they're hoping is that this massive public relations blitz of disinformation and deception, starting with Ann Veneman at USDA and all the way down through the states to, you know, local veterinarians who've been enlisted, can just keep Americans blithely going along and consuming beef as normal, as if nothing's happened. Because the truth is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Food and Drug Administration are much more concerned about preserving the meat industry's use of billions of pounds of slaughterhouse waste as cheap feed than they are about protecting human and animal health here in North America. How many cows are out there that are infected? Well, in order to really answer that question, we would have to have adequate testing in Canada and the United States and Mexico. We do not. Last year, we slaughtered something like 35 million cattle, give or take a couple million cattle. The number of cattle tested last year was 20,000, less than 1%. In fact, about one-half of 1% of the slaughtered cattle were tested.
Now,
remember when the car industry fought off seat belts to save a few bucks? Oil refiners told us civilization would grind to a halt if we took the lead out of gasoline. And led by the company DuPont, the CFC refrigerant industry predicted trillions in costs and millions of deaths if we acted to protect the ozone layer. That's all gone by, and we have the seatbelts, cleaner fuel, and somewhat safer chemicals in our air conditioners. Apparently, it takes a decade or two and lots of deaths before humans can adjust. When the mad cow is already out of the barn and into our bloodstreams, lurking for our golden years, suddenly prevention will be normal. Leading prion researcher John Collins writes, "It is impossible to predict the size of the epidemic. It may only involve hundreds, but it could be Europe-wide and become a disaster of biblical proportions. We have to face the possibility of a disaster with tens of thousands of cases. We just don't know if this will happen, but what is certain is that we cannot afford to wait and see. We have to do something right now. We have to find the answers not only to the questions of the nature of the disease, but to find a way to develop an effective treatment." End quote. If you must eat meat, at least look for grass-fed or organic beef, but you still depend upon the cleanliness and judgment of an unknown slaughterhouse. Here's one way you can help.
And I do everything I can right now to educate people that if we're going to do something about factory farming,
the way to do it individually. Don't spend your money on what they're producing. If we hurt them in the pocketbook, they're finally going to wake up and change.
As Howard Lyman continues to tell audiences throughout North America, the only safe alternative for consumers is to stop eating factory-farmed meat.
All right, well, wrapping up, what's the title of your new book and your film and the website where we can find out more about it?
Well, the website is madcowboy.com. The new book is No More Bull, a straight-from-the-shoulder look at lousy diets. And I'm talking about all lousy diets, the Atkins diet, the South Beach diet. You know, chips and Twinkies are a vegetarian diet, but they're sure not good for you. So we write about lousy diets, and then we write about a good diet. And then I put in a two-week meal plan and over 100 vegan recipes that are easy to produce, good for you, taste good, from some of the best chefs in North America. And then I put together a documentary that we now have signed a contract with PBS to show it on 400 stations four times in 3 years, starting in June of 2006.
Some of the clips you have heard come from National Public Radio, one of the great national treasures of the United States, and available at npr.org. This report is from Radio EcoShock, the net's only all-environment radio station. Tune in free at www.ecoshock.org. You can also find on the site a copy of our interview with Howard Lyman and his speech following the second annual Animal Film Conference in Vancouver on June 3, 2006. Please, eat safely.